Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back goes Jackson one more time. He's being chased. He fires. He completes it, but way short of the first down as the catch is made by Henry, and he is just bounced down by Cooper DeJean.
What a great tackle by Cooper DeJean. You know, this ball is caught by Derrick Henry. He is that dude. But Cooper DeJean comes up, wraps him up, lifts him up, and puts him on his back. You rarely see that.
Textbook tackle.
Take a shot.
By the exciting white Cooper DeJean. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas.
The exciting white.
Joe Gillette. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. All right, Hugh. It is time. The people are waiting here. I mean, we've been talking about this defense all day. We've been talking about this defense for 2 months now. But I think it's time for you to kind of take a deep dive. What you saw yesterday, the best of the Eagles defense. A little Big Hugh breakdown.
You know, first of all, I want to give a shout out to Rhea Hughes, man, because she's like one of the best text partners to have when you're watching the game, because she goes, her range of emotions go from super, super excited to really, really frustrated. To like this, she just goes, when the Eagles are playing well, she just goes silent.
True fan. That's a true fan to me.
But to me, the biggest thing about this defense, they were able to put pressure on the quarterback without having Brandon Graham out there. And I think the guy that makes this team go is no doubt is Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter pushes the pocket so much that he allows those ends to get up the field and rush the way that they're rushing. You know, because the one thing you never want to be is behind a guy like
Lamar
Jackson. When he's quarterbacking, because he's so fast. But the fact that Jalen Carter's out there and he was forcing him to stay back in the pocket and not step up because he was getting double and triple team, that allowed for those ends to put pressure on the quarterback. And the good thing about it, Lamar, there were some times where he could have pulled the ball down and ran, but he was trying to get the receivers involved in the game, so they benefited tremendously from that. But you got to give a shout out to Jalen Carter, man, in the way that he's playing up front. Jalen Hunt, those other guys. BG was sorely missed yesterday, but the way that Jalen Carter's playing, if he can continue to play that all season long, they're going to be okay as far as the front four are concerned.
So I was impressed yesterday with two guys in particular, Hugh. One was Jalen Hunt getting more playing time. I thought he set the edge on the run well, even though, like, remember when they drafted him, he's a former safety, right? Then they developed into a pass rusher when he transferred in college. Like, he's not a big dude.
No.
But I thought he set the edge well. And Nolan Smith, Hugh, is quietly... But
he's getting off the ball well,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I think it's getting louder now. I mean, the beginning of the season, when they stunk in the first 4 weeks, we're like, can he even play? And now you see it. He's setting the edge. I thought he chopped down Henry a couple times those runs, and he has 4.5 sacks now.
Yeah, man. And, you know, another thing, as I'm looking at the film, these guys are doing a good job of, you know, playing with their hands. They need to – one thing I would say about Jalen Hunt is he needs to learn how to get off the blocks a lot quicker. But as far as, like, stabbing – the tackling, creating separation, he's doing a good job of that. Now he has to learn how to slip off of those blocks. He has some long arms, man, and that works to his benefit, especially when you're out there edge rushing the way that you are. Same thing with Nolan Smith. He's doing a good job of using his hands and keeping those bigger guys off his body. It's clear right now that they're afraid of their speed off the corner. And when you have the big fella in the middle that is on watching film putting pressure on the quarterback, man, it's one of those things where – you know, if they keep playing like this, they're going to be okay. And shout out to another, Jordan Davis. I know he's been getting a tough way to go these last couple of weeks. But he was out there. He's played well as well. They're playing decent up front. They're playing real well up front.
Can I give you a comp for this Eagles team, Hugh? As we talk through this, right, like, what do we have? We have a great defense right now. We have a tremendous running game. And we have a quarterback that can make plays with his legs, but is more in the game manager mold in terms of, like, what they're asking him to do. You know who they remind me of? Hugh, this Eagles team reminds me of the Seahawks that won the Super Bowl with Russell Wilson.
Legion
of Boom defense.
The Legion of Boom.
Marshawn Lynch in the backfield. And Russell was not asked to carry the load, right? But he had to make some plays, and he made plays with his legs. He made plays with his arm. Like, he was a big part of it. But you looked at those games early on, Russell, he would throw the ball 20 times, right? He wasn't asked to do a lot.
Yeah.
They remind me of those Seahawks teams like 2012, 2013 that won a Super Bowl, got back to another one. they're kind of moving towards that's their identity.
And there's nothing wrong with that, man. I know that there's a lot of people that have a lot of trepidation about Jalen. And it's funny because you talk about, can Jalen bring you back? Well, technically, I know it was only 9 points, but he did bring you back and got you in the game yesterday.
Yeah, it was. No, I feel like we got to see it like 10 or 14 for it to feel
no,
that
I hear,
way.
No, I hear but, you, but I mean, no, a comeback did. Is a comeback.
Well, it's first you quarter. Know. It was the first quarter.
I mean, but it's still a comeback. They were down, and it looked
sure.
like it looked like it was trending in the wrong direction, and they finally got it going. So, yeah, it was a little bit of that, too.
They did. So here's the one thing we're missing, though.
Because
I just made the comp. They remind me of the 2013 Seahawks, right? Russell, game manager, running game, defense. We need a name for this defense. We throw this out like a month ago. Nothing came of it. I just feel like a defense this good should have a name. You all right over there?
No, I'm just trying to think. What you going to call it?
A necessity?
A luxury?
Well, no one would go with that.
Honestly, like, what if they embraced the luxury thing as like a mocking thing for Hugh, and they're like, look how luxurious we are.
So, I don't know if
lifestyles
they are or not.
Of the
but
rich and famous.
Remember during training camp, we had a lot of defense players in the trailer with us, right? And
yeah.
I asked all of them about this. Bond, we had Rodgers, Bond, I think Jalex Hunt early on in the run. I mean, they know what you said about them, Hugh. I mean, like,
they
get it.
They do. And they've proved me wrong.
Ooh,
wow.
So I feel like they owe me an apology.
What?
That's enough. Let's go back to the phone lines here. I mean, that is the biggest spin I've ever seen.
I'm an apology. I'm the reason why they playing the way they
and this
playing.
Is why we can't come up with a nickname because I try.
This is why we can't have nice things.
That's right.
And I do think I would like if they embraced the luxury thing, and we're almost like yeah.
So almost like turning around on Hugh,
yeah.
like if we're in luxury.
Yeah.
This is what a luxury looks yep. like.
They've been playing with a chip on their shoulder the whole time.
They
man.
Have, and they've come together in an amazing
so they
way.
Me. They owe me.
They owe me. You nothing.
You know what? I agree.
They're getting us.
I can get down with that.
They're getting us a trip to New Orleans.
Yeah, and they owe me that trip. They owe me. I need at least a hoodie out of the deal.
You want clothes?
Yes.
The guy that walked in here in shorts today wants more free clothes.
I'm not hard to please.
All right, 215.
There ain't nothing wrong with
592-9494 for Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Cooper. Man, he went head on with Derrick Henry, and he put Derrick Henry big ass on his ass.
Mm-hmm.
Man, physicality.
That's what
Sirianni's been preaching, and that's what the Philadelphia Eagles have been coming with. And I heard you guys talking about Sirianni and him not getting involved in the games the last couple of weeks, and he hasn't. But shout out to these coordinators also. Shout out to Vic Fangio for whatever special ingredient he's unlocked on his defense, he's unlocked it. And Kellen Moore, Kyle took my point earlier. We all know Kellen Moore for being a throwing. He likes to throw the ball all over the field.
Yep.
He's turned into a running coordinator. He's running the ball, and we all like if you're not getting the home run, we all know sooner or later Saquon Barkley is going to pop that cherry, man. He's going to pop it, and he's going to be in the end zone. So I feel like this is an impressive win for the fact that this was the number one offense and they had one of the top rushing attacks in the NFL. And we shut them down to 12 points except for that garbage time touchdown at the end of the game.
Well, really, Terry, it's 2 weeks in a row. I mean, because the Rams got a garbage time score at the end, too. I mean, it's 2 weeks in a row where they've held good – I mean, like legitimately big-time quarterbacks, right? A Super Bowl champion in Matt Stafford, a two-time MVP in Lamar.
Yep.
They've held him to, like, you know, 12, 13, 14 points until a minute to go in the game.
Yeah, they've been playing well.
And that's why I say this is impressive because it's not like we've been beating mediocre teams. We have been beating good football teams and great quarterbacks. And, like, the sky's the limit is for this football team. I say this right now. From watching Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving, the way they play, I feel like we can go in there and we can get these guys the business because right now we're flying on all cylinders. Our defense, I don't know what Sirianni's doing, but I feel like on that bye week, this guy has evaluated his whole team. He has evaluated his coaching and it's showing and his whole team's potential. And I feel like, man, he's bounding down!
We're headed there, Terrence. Terrence, good phone call. Right, let's listen to Saquon after the game talking about what Terrence was alluding to, which is Kellen Moore sticking with the run. Saquon, obviously appreciative of his coordinator sticking. Well, he gave a shout-out there, Hugh, to Kellen Moore for sticking with the run. And They have. I mean, the first three quarters of some of these games, Saquon's numbers aren't overwhelming. I mean, you look at, like, last week he had the 70-yarder after halftime, so that boosted up his numbers. But I feel like there's been two or three games this year where you look at the box score, and if you're kind of watching and looking at the same time, you're like, it's been okay. It's been fine, right? Like, nothing overwhelming, no great moments. But then it's like, if you keep going with it, eventually that dam breaks.
It's like chopping a tree down, man. I mean, and that's what the run is. It was funny because during the course of the game, I heard Coach Coward talking about how you need to come out in the second half and you need to wear teams down with the running game. Yep. And it was one team that got worn down. I was a little concerned because coming out of that half, when the Ravens had the ball, they had the ball for the whole third quarter.
I was worried we were going to get worn down.
And it was like, man, but those guys were flying around. They were juiced it up. They were playing fast, man. And that, I had a friend text me, he said, damn, Ravens had the ball for the whole third quarter and they're still losing. And that was the thing that really jumped out to me is, like, this defense right now, they're flying all over the place. They're not getting tired. And they just look spry.
They're young.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. And they just realized, damn, they're a bunch of young, like, young defense.
All right, let me voice the first concern I think any of us have had on the show today about everything moving forward, right? Because they look great. They look like the best team.
Well, I can't believe this.
I waited an hour and 40 minutes. They look like the best team in the league.
All right, here we go.
Well, I'm asking the question. Without BG, that means more snaps, a lot more for Nolan, a lot more for Jalix.
Would they be better off?
Well, they'll be better in time. I just want, are we concerned about a wall with all these young guys, especially the rookies? Cooper, like, think about where we are at. We're at in the season. Season with college football. They're about to be done, right? Mm-hmm. I know they have a playoff now, but the regular season of college football ended this past weekend. So, like, Jalix Hunt's season last year ended now. I'm sure Cooper DeJean was in a championship game or a bowl game, but whatever. It ended around this time. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Quinyon Mitchell. We're now hoping for two more months of football, and we don't even know if we're going to have a bye. Any concern over some of these young guys, specifically the rookies, hitting a little wall here, Hugh?
You know what? Not really.
Okay. Because Carter did last year.
Did that really count? I think
sure it did.
Last year. No, when I think about last year, there was a lot going on that we didn't know about.
Well, that's true.
I think that the fun factor has really played a huge factor in this. Because you're talking about the young guys. I don't think Cooper's going to get one because he missed the first couple
he
of games of the
late.
Season.
That's true. Yeah. Okay, that helps.
And I think that they're doing a great job, honestly, of keeping these young guys fresh. It's a different animal when you're winning, man. And it's a different animal when you're getting all this adulation. I'm pretty sure when Coop goes in the store now, everybody knows who he is. Yeah. I mean, it's just different.
Well, after that
the
tackle,
vibe, the
yeah.
vibe is different, man. And this team fit. I guess I'm assuming that they feel like they're a team destined to do some great things. So I don't think that whole fatigue thing is going to play a huge factor into any of this.
Okay, I hope so.
I don't see it either. Like, Jalen Carter played 99% of the snaps again. Like, he missed one. And then that's after 2 weeks in a row playing 100% of the snaps.
It's
like,
wild what
I think
doing.
He's got his pro, like, his NFL body now. He said the whole offseason being with a pro team. Mm. Same with Nolan Smith. And plus, if you think about it, like, these edge guys that are now getting opportunities, more opportunities because of Brandon Graham and Bryce Huff being out, they're almost starting their season late, too. So I don't know if I see a wall with Jalix Hunt, who's just now.
I think you worry about the guys in the secondary, though.
Yeah, well, but I don't, though, because it's not like that much of a physically demanding position. Like, Quinyon Mitchell just has to keep running fast.
Yeah, Quinyon played the most snaps of all these guys.
Yeah, but Carter and Davis last year.
They wore down.
Yeah, they wore down, but that's a position where you're susceptible to sure. wear down. Like, corner, you don't really see that, especially from a guy that young.
I was holding my breath when Quinyon went in the medical tent when he took the knee off the helmet.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like, oh, no, what are we going to do there? One thing before we go any further, right back to your phone calls. I got the math here on Saquon. Mm-hmm. So you need 606 yards, I guess 607, to top Eric Dickerson. 607. That's about 121 per game the rest of the season to top Dickerson. Now, he only got
pretty good at math.
What did he get last year? What did he get yesterday? 103? 106?
Yeah, 106, yeah, something like that.
Because he lost like five at the end.
Yeah.
But he was over 100 against the number two rushing defense. Now we get some tomato cans.
Yeah, 107.
We get tomato cans in terms of stopping the run. I mean, they should run
tomato cans.
They should run all over the Panthers this week. This could be a 175 for Saquon if they push it. This could be a big one.
I'm pretty sure those guys up front want it to happen for him, though, man. I mean, that's what I see. I think that they're taking a lot of pride. Be like, yo, let's run the ball, get this record for him.
The other thing from yesterday that I picked up, Romo said something on the broadcast. You know how we've joked that Cooper DeJean's the new Hugh? Because the Coop, like the Hugh, right?
Yeah.
Hugh, you've told the story before that in the Bucks championship game that Gruden took you off the field by going with those, what did you call it, like elephant package?
Yeah, the elephant package.
Romo said yesterday the Ravens were going with double tight end to keep Cooper off the field. Because, you know, when there's two tight ends, it's not a nickel package, right? So Cooper's not probably on the field as much. It's pretty wild that an offense is thinking, how can we get Cooper DeJean off the
respect
field? Respect.
This early in his career. Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Not incredible. Throwing at Quinion, trying to get Cooper off the field.
How about that GM that picks these guys? That Howie Roseman is pretty darn good, is he not?
Yeah, we did get a nickname submission.
What do we got?
The Baby Boomers.
Baby Boomers. I kind of like it.
It's fun.
The Baby Boomers.
Well, they're young, but they're bringing the boom, right. Hugh.
It's not better than Exciting Whites.
Well, but they're not all whites.
There's very few whites, actually.
Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, and honestly, like, Jalen Carter's got the big boomers. Baby face.
He does. The Baby Boomers.
Y'all really trying to make this thing stick? Can we be a little bit more creative?
Can you give us a better submission?
It's the best one I've got so far. Yeah.
All right, then let me think about it.
You do some thinking. We'll talk to Mike in Norristown. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what do you know? What do you say?
Hey, Mike, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I don't know if you guys remember, man. I called the day after they beat Cleveland, and I said that they were going to go on a 10-game win streak.
Is that what you said?
I don't remember that specifically, but I believe you, Mike.
But yeah, you weren't the only one to say that. But yeah,
no,
we got
hold
you.
Hold on a second. Yeah, he was.
He was the only one to say that they were going to win 10 games.
How many people thought they were going to win it 10 games in a row?
I mean, if you asked enough people.
I've heard a few people say that. Like, to be honest, somebody called in last week and said the same thing that they were going to call
it. Yeah, but I said it a month ago after they barely beat Cleveland. I still have faith, man. I was one of the few.
Okay.
Well, I mean, good on you. I mean, you were a believer through when the coach was shaving his head and they barely beat the Browns. Mike, you could see the future that I could not.
Absolutely. The way it looks is going to come down to us in Detroit. Detroit's playing good ball, too. I'm excited, man. I think we got a really good shot at going. As long as they stay healthy, I think that they got a really good shot.
They have a great chance. I mean, it feels like 50-50, right? I think Green Bay's also really good in the NFC, and they will be a challenge for the Eagles or the Lions. But I'd be surprised if it's not Eagles-Lions to go to the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. And they can win it. I think that they're better than Kansas City. I think they can beat Buffalo. I think Buffalo's going to beat Kansas City this year. I'm predicting Eagles, Bills, Super Bowl. We win it all, baby.
Could you imagine Eagles and Bills fans in New Orleans for a week? I mean, would be wild.
We wouldn't be the only ones on the bus. So they'd probably ride a bus down.
Well, they're not involved in our bus. They're not.
No, I'm just saying, but we'll see them on the highway. We probably see them at Bucky's.
We'd
probably stop at Bucky's and be like, yo.
The Eagles and Bills fans get along for the week? Feels like two fan bases.
It'll probably be some fights just popping off.
Yeah, but I think there's a kind of a kinship between the fan bases.
They
strike me as similar.
I'm gonna probably get in trouble.
Go ahead.
But the Buffalo Bill fans to me seem like they live in trailer parks a little bit. They seem like they drive Winnebagoes. Cause they the only fan base I know, man, jumping off of Winnebago.
So what are you saying? They go harder.
Breaking tables.
They go harder.
No, they're a little hillbillyish. They're hillbillies.
Okay.
They remind me of hillbillies.
I get you. I mean, the table thing is unique.
It's a lot.
It's unique.
Cause they have a man. You ain't see Harry Douglas? They had Harry Douglas jumping off a table.
Well, everyone that comes up there's
nice
got to go up.
Nice little outfit. Man, ain't nobody doing that. I wish somebody would ask me to jump off a Winnebago onto a table to break it.
You wouldn't do it?
Who does? Hells no.
I would
break my hip.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Come on.
No, Joe, I don't believe that.
I would do it.
I hope. You know what?
I'm not going to do it, but if we were up there,
Now I hope to sweet baby Jesus that when we go, if it's the Buffalo Bills and us, I'll pay good money to see you do that with the Bills fan, with the Bills mafia.
We're going to do it in New Orleans?
Yes.
Let's just throw it on top of the pile.
Yeah, you might as well. We doing everything else. I bet you won't do it. I bet you if the Bills go, you won't do it.
All right, I'll add this. If the Eagles play the Bills in New Orleans, we'll take a bus down there, you will have a green beard, and I'll jump off a Winnebago and break through a table.
Okay.
In. Deal.
Please let this happen.
Yeah.
Because I pay good. The green beard is worth it. To see you,
I agree. I'm looking forward to seeing this now.
The green beard is worth it if you do that.
It's been a very long time, and I am just physically a different person than I was. But I used to do crazy stuff. Like I used to wrestle.
You're proud of that.
I was never on it. I didn't wrestle for real, like real wrestling. But like,
no, but you used to backyard wrestle.
Yeah, we used to backyard wrestle. I used to jump off the roof.
Used to put staples in your forehead?
No, we didn't quite go
like
that far. But I did stupid stuff. Like I'd probably break now. I'm old now compared to when I was a teenager.
You're not going to ask your wife for permission. You're just going to go out there.
Joe back in a sling. New Orleans, man.
The goal is to come back alive. No one ever says goal to come back in one piece.
His wife's going to be mad at me.
Well, this was kind of yesterday.
Like, you
let us here.
Why did you do this?
You let us here.
Oh, yeah, boy. Man, please let this happen. This is going to be an awesome time.
So, our last caller mentioned Eagles-Bills. I think you can make a real case right now. The two best teams in the NFL are in the NFC. That if we get an Eagles-Lions championship game, it could actually be the Super Bowl. I think the NFC is going to win the Super Bowl, Hugh. I think the win, if it's Eagles or it's Detroit, or I think it's going to be one of those two teams. But I think you can make a real case that the two best teams in the whole sport right now are playing in the NFC.
And they're on a collision course.
They are.
And it's only right that they play each other at this point. Because I'm pretty sure you can't tell me that there wasn't a whole lot of Detroit Lions fans and players that are watching that game yesterday and were like, man, they look like they're a whole problem.
Of course.
Look like they're a whole
problem. Well, they're rooting against the Eagles because they want an easier chance at the one seed.
Yeah, they do. But they're looking at it now. I mean, because it feels like that's the collision course that's going to happen.
It reminds me of 2 years ago. I felt that the Eagles and Niners were on a collision course 2 years ago, and then they ended up obviously playing in the NFC Championship game. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop it. Here's what we got going on. Howard Eskin will join us coming up in just a few minutes. His take on the game yesterday, the schedule to go, how important is the number one seed, and I'm sure Howard will work in a lot of credit for Nick Sirianni, who has done a good job, and I thought he coached a really, really good football game yesterday. Your phone calls on the win. Was that the best win of the Nick Sirianni era? And right now, it feels like we're watching the best team in the NFL. We'll talk about all that later in the show. We will get to some around the NFL stuff for week 13, and we'll break down the schedules moving forward. Eagles, Lions, the path to a one seed and the entire NFC postseason here in Philadelphia. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, Thanksgiving might be over, but the season of gatherings isn't done yet. Make your next holiday meal unforgettable with Hatfield. That's right. Say it with me. Put pork on your fork. Hatfield's delicious marinated pork tenderloins, bacon. Ooh, y'all know how much I love bacon. Ham and ham steaks are the perfect centerpiece for any holiday meal. Need inspiration? Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes this season. Go beyond tradition and find your flavor with Hatfield.